Amen. Open your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm just going to read a couple of verses of Scripture and try to be led of the Lord this evening. I sure feel the presence of God, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Sister, if you're going to take my picture, you're going to have to pay me $100. Amen. Amen. I'm just kidding. Amen. Amen. I'll pay you $100. Everybody wants to take my picture, I'll pay them money. Amen. Well, I appreciate these young folks up here. What a blessing.
Amen.
What an honor it is to be sitting in a church and see people that age get up and sing. And sing that well, by the way. Not just get up and caterwauling, but I mean singing and sing and carry a tune and sing harmony and play well and look good and look presentable. And on a Tuesday night, be in church, singing, letting God use them, that impresses me. Any old nasty, filthy redneck can get up in front of a TV camera with their clothes off and scream and holler and act like a fool. That's right. But it takes class to do what they just did. I admire these young people. I really do. I look up to them. Them's my heroes, people like that. And I appreciate that. Boy, I tell you, that I really like that. I tell my kids all the time, they're my heroes. I look up to them. My kids are in their 20s, and my daughter's 18. And any Saturday night at 10 o'clock at night, you can find them in the church playing and singing. Singing and playing and singing. And enjoying it, too.
Yeah.
Getting a blessing. Sometimes go in there and I'll be back there in my office and I can hear it coming through the speaker going into the baby nursery, and the only reason I hadn't unhooked that speaker so I can hear it. So I can get a blessing. And I'll be back there getting a blessing, listening to them practice. And I appreciate these young people. What a blessing it is. And young people all over the country doing all kinds of things. And I appreciate these kids coming tonight and singing to us. And I told Debbie, I said, what a heritage it is. I know Brother Shook and Brother Jeff and all of them so proud to see all these family members and all these generations singing. And one of these days we'll be gone, brother. We'll be gone. Somebody's got to carry it on. That's one thing about the Muslims, that they think ahead. We just think about right now, but they think about 50 years. They think about 100 years down the road. And most people just think like a dog. They just think about what's in front of them, what they're going to get to eat today. Amen? That's right. And but I appreciate people to lay the foundation for the future. And I thank God for those and for what we've heard tonight. And I appreciate what I've already felt. 1 Timothy chapter 4, read a couple of verses of Scripture and try to be led of the Lord tonight. And it's been good. Last night was good, and tonight's been good. Amen? I'm just going to try to obey God tonight. It's the only thing I know to do. I never have claimed to be a great preacher. I never have asked God to help me to be a great preacher. I don't think I am a great preacher. I never have. Even that's never entered my mind. But I have asked God, help me be a blessing. Lord, someday when I'm gone, let people look back and say, Brother Ronnie was a blessing to me. I hope that, Brother Jeff. That's what I want. I can care less if people think I'm great or not. I can care less if people want me to sign their Bible. That ain't what it's about. But I want to be a help to somebody. I remember when my daddy died and I preached his funeral. My soul, brother, what a great man of God. Nobody even knows who he is. I can call his name right now. None of you here even know who he was. A great preacher in the foothills of North Carolina. Preached for 45 years up and down the road. Never had his name in the soul of the Lord or anything like that. But brother, I want to tell you what, he blessed a many of people and was a good man and a good daddy and a good husband and was a good pastor and a good preacher. And brother, that's what we need to gear ourselves for, and not worry about fame and not worry about notoriety. We ought to want to help somebody and get ourselves we need to try to invest ourselves in people. We get in the people business. We get in God's business. We get in God's business. God will get in our business. And when God gets in our business, brother, something big's going to happen. Amen. Well, I like that right there. Brother, when you invest your life in people, brother, something's going to happen. And brother, you won't live your life wasted, and you will end up a shell of a man at the end of the way. Amen. That ain't my message tonight, but I just felt like saying it. I just got into preacher mode there just for a minute. Amen. Preachers get like that. That's, amen. Most of the time I don't feel too good. I feel bad half the time. I wish I'd get like that at Walmart sometime. I felt like getting that way last night when that stupid thing wouldn't work. We got a bird. After all that shopping, that stupid thing wouldn't work. And they had two checkout people. 145 people were wanting to check out, and two people was there. And then they had all them self-checkout things. And the bad thing about it is you start to check out and a woman starts talking back to you. I said, that's like having your wife inside a machine, brother. $1.19. Please place your item in the bag. Yes, ma'am. Then you get in your car and you got a GPS and your wife's talking through the radio. Turn left, idiot. Turn right. I mean, you can't get away. Amen. I feel like sometimes, brother, just start preaching to people. That's where I'm at. Let's go. Open up another aisle. You people need to stay up in here at Walmart. Don't you ever feel like doing that? I believe God will order it sometime. Need some preaching down Walmart. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's read a couple of verses of Scripture. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days, in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is to be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. In other words, you can eat anything you want to as long as you pray over it. If you kill a possum on the side of the road, if you pray real good, go ahead and eat it. God will bless it. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Back up to verse number 2 is what I want to preach on tonight. Verse 2 said, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Here's what I want to preach about tonight for a few minutes. God being my help, becoming numb to the things of God. Becoming numb to the things of God. Here's what I believe has happened to us in this age. I believe we've come to a place where we've become numb to the things of God. I believe this. I believe when you get up and preach, have you ever noticed when you preach, young people come to the altar. Little kids come to the altar. It's not because they don't know what's going on. It's because their heart's still young and tender and soft. And God can still prick their heart. But as adults, we've learned to resist the Holy Ghost, and we've learned to say no to God, and we've learned to resist Him. And after a while, our hearts got callous, and our hearts got cold. And now when God starts to move and God starts to bless, it just don't affect us anymore. God can be moving, and we just don't even know it. It's because we've got numb. Amen?
You're right.
I got to thinking about this. And by way of introduction, there's three ways that a person can become numb. One of those ways is by being burned. Do you know if you get burned, right there said, by having a conscience seared with a hot iron, you know them cowboys, I got a friend, a guy comes to their church, he works on a ranch, and when they burn them cows, they take a red hot iron, just like you said in a cowboy movie, and they stick it on them cows, and boy, they squirm, and it hurts, and it burns a place in them, and leaves their brain, and what it does, it deadens those nerves, and it deadens that skin, and hair won't grow back, and they can't feel a thing on that part anymore. You walk up, stick a pin in it, and they ain't got no feeling anymore. I mean, brand them again, they don't care, don't feel a thing. Have you ever thought about that? A lot of Christians are like that. They're numb, but they ain't got no feeling. I mean, nothing bothers them. They don't care what God does. I've been burned, I've been hurt, and I don't care what they do down the church. I ain't teaching Sunday school. I've been burnt one time, and I ain't going down that road again. Amen, brother. Another way of being burned is being extremely cold. Some people get in a place that's so cold. Another way of being numb is you get so cold you ain't got no feeling no more.
Yeah.
I've been that cold before. Have you ever got that cold before? That your toes get to where you can't feel nothing, and then they start tingling, and after a while you ain't got any feeling. But I tell you, some people's got a place in their spiritual life that is so cold that they ain't got any feeling. And when God does begin to move, and God does begin to do something, but it's just such a cold, desolate place they can't feel a blessed thing.
Right.
Either being excessively burned or extremely cold. Another way of being numb is being put to sleep. A lot of times people get put to sleep. You ever go to the doctor and get put to sleep? I've had a couple operations before. I've had two back operations, a leg operation. I've had my jaw operation. I've had a bunch of operations where that's only 29 years old. I'm 52 almost. And brother, I've been operated on. I've been busted up and broke up. I've had so many broke bones you wouldn't believe it. You'd think I was Evel Knievel. And half of them was after I got saved. Ain't that crazy? Car wrecks, motorcycle wrecks, getting thrown off of horses and all kind of crazy stuff. Getting beat up by your wife and all kind of junk. But here's what I'm trying to say. When they put you to sleep, you're in such a deep sleep, they don't numb your body. They just get you in a sleep and they just hack you open. I asked my doctor one time, I had two back operations in 30 days. Two of them, brother. By the time it started healing up, they cut me back open again. And they went right back in the second time, cut my same staples open, and reached right back in there. I said, Doc, what'd you do? Lose something? He said, I dropped my glass eye in there. We've got to go back in. I ain't kidding. And I said, I asked my wife, I said, what do they do to numb it? She said, they don't do nothing. I said, what do you? I never had an operation before. I said, what do you mean they don't do it? She said, you're asleep. I said, yeah, but what keeps you waking up when it hurts so bad? She said, you're just so asleep you don't feel it. I thought, oh, my God, there's a sermon in there somewhere. Amen, brother. I'm trying to tell you, there's folks that's so asleep on God that when God does move, they never know it, brother. I'll tell you, you better wake up. God's trying to do something. I agree with what Brother Jeff said. I agree. Listen, brother, I've preached all over the place. I've preached a lot of meetings. And, brother, it's not very often that you come up on a church or you come through a place and you can feel a stir and you feel a nudge and you can feel and you can tell God is really trying to do something. And I was before God. I can feel God is trying to move in this place. And you better wake up and get on board with it. I want to say something here tonight, a few things. We're becoming numb to the things of God. First of all, we're becoming numb to preaching. I want to say a few things about preaching tonight. I know this ain't a shouting message, but God woke me up this morning at 6:30 and started giving this to me. A bird flew in the power line, the power went off, and I woke up and I had to study early. I was going to sleep late. Amen? We're becoming numb to preaching. I was thinking about some of us that sit under good preaching every day. We hear good preaching all the time. We hear good independent King James Bible preaching every day, every Sunday. You know what? If you ain't careful, you'll become numb because you hear it so much. It's like hearing an alarm clock go off and you hit the snooze button. If you ain't careful, you'll become numb to it because you hear some of you very young people up here singing. If you ain't careful, you'll hear your daddy preach and your uncle preach so much that when the Holy Ghost tries to move, you'll tune him out because you've heard it so much. You better be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have singing, fellowships, testimonies, sometimes food and programs and trips and everything else. But what we need is old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching. Brother, we need preaching. The Bible tells us preaching is mentioned more than 120 times in the New Testament. The Bible said Jesus came to preach. He came preaching. John the Baptist came preaching. Jesus stood up in the Sabbath, on the Sabbath to preach. And listen, brother, Jesus was a preacher. And brother, that's what we need is old-fashioned Bible preaching. Brother, don't listen. Always be sensitive to the preaching. Always ask yourself, God, are you speaking to me? Lord, is it me you're trying to talk to? Yes, I've preached to people for years and it never hit them. I've pastored people for years and they just sit on the pew and never go to the altar and never move up and never get right. It's always somebody else that's hitting. You know what that is? They've become numb to it. They've heard it so much and heard it so much. Do you know there's some people that can sit under good preaching and never even know it?
You're exactly right.
Amen. Preaching exposes sin. Isaiah 58:1 said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. You know, preaching exposes sin. The right kind sometimes will make you mad. It got Stephen killed. The flesh and the spirit struggling. The real kind of preaching will tell your family, tell you what to do with your family. Get your family under the right kind of preaching. And it'll tell you what to do. And it'll tell you how to live. It'll tell you about life and love and relationship and marriage and child rearing. Real preaching will make you scared to talk about sex. Amen? I preach about it every once in a while. This, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. Are you kidding me? You go home, turn the TV on in the first 30 minutes, you'll hear more about sex than you will in a year's time in the pulpits across America. Amen? You'll hear Real preaching, you'll hear about drug abuse, alcohol use, government, war, pleasure, wives, how to be wives, husbands, how to be husbands, how to raise your children. You'll hear about work ethic. You'll hear about paying bills, debt, the right way to worship. You'll hear all these things under the right kind of preaching. Don't tune it out. Stay sensitive to the right kind of preaching. Real preachers not afraid to talk about sin. Real preachers will warn young men about them old whores over in Proverbs chapter 5. Real preachers don't flinch about that kind of stuff.
Right.
Listen, if that offends you, something must be wrong with you.
Right.
Why would that offend a Christian person?
Right.
Amen? It warns young women about reprobate teenage boys. That's got one thing on their mind. It tells women how to submit to their own husbands. Real preaching tells men how to love and be good to their wives. Amen. Listen, real preachers ain't scared to talk about politics. Real preachers ain't scared to tell you that we've got a Muslim in the White House and he's a reprobate full of the devil. Real preacher ain't scared of that stuff. A real preacher ain't going to walk on eggshells. But I want to tell you, we have become known to the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Real preachers not afraid to call names.
Yes.
Let me tell you about some people that were name callers. There was a preacher in the Bible called people dogs, swine, vipers, hypocrites, children of the devil, perverse. You know who he was? Heathen, fools, you bunch of fools, wicked and adulterous. Guess who that was? Jesus. Amen. And brother, listen, we're just getting started. Every great preacher that's ever lived was a name-calling preacher. Listen, tell it what it is, brother. I want to tell you, brother, listen, I would not go to a doctor for 5 seconds that would tell me he thought I had acne when really he thought I had cancer. I want to tell you, brother, I want a preacher that'll right back look me in the face and tell me the truth, bless God. Amen. I want a preacher to hang me out over hell and tell me the truth. And brother, oh, that's what we need in our nation. That's what we need in our communities. That's what we need in our churches, is real old-fashioned Bible preaching.
Yes.
Did you know Hollywood will not tell your kids what that man right there will tell them? Aaron Spelling won't tell them what Jeff Griffith will tell them. Paris Hilton won't tell them what Jack Shook will tell them, bless God Almighty. Amen. That's right, brother. Tell it straight. Don't candy coat it. I want preaching, brother. I don't want cotton candy. I want preaching. We become known to the preached word of God. John Wesley used to tell his young preachers, they'd say, we've been out preaching. It's okay. First of all, did anybody get saved? No. All right, did anybody get mad? No. He'd say, go back. You ain't done no preaching.
Right.
Nobody got saved. Nobody got mad. You just thought you preached. That's right. That's a fact, brother. I remember one time I got up and preached on adultery one Sunday night. Just took the topic of adultery. And I mean preached it, brother, like I was mad at the world. I preached on it like my coattails on fire. Everything's fine in my church. I mean, a good church, brother. Wonderful. Everything's smooth as silk. I mean, just preached. I mean, I preached like the devil was after me in a pitchfork. But little did I know, the man standing right there leading my singing and teaching my Sunday school was running around with prostitutes. And you know what? You know what happened? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. That sermon flushed him out, brother. That sermon flushed him out. That was Sunday night. And Tuesday, his wife called me. And she was crying and said, preacher, we need to talk. And brother, before the week was out, they both sat in my office. And before the next week was out, I made him stand in front of that communion table and confess to that whole church what he had been doing and what he had been up to. And brother, I had no idea that was going on. Well, here's what I'm trying to tell you. Old-fashioned Holy Ghost Bible preaching, it's always got the job done. It'll always get the job done. It always has. It always will. We don't need contemporary music. We don't need rock and roll bands. We don't need a bunch of clowns. We don't need entertainment. We need old-fashioned Bible preaching. We just got numb to it. I preached one Sunday night on seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Found out that night. It about scared me on preaching on this stuff. I smoked them out that night, brother. Man, I preached it that night. I preached on everybody in the world, brother. I preached on every fake preacher on television. I called her names. I had quotes and everything. I had her out there, son. It was really a 3-week sermon in one night. I went home, I was sitting in my den, my wife brought me a plate of food, I was sitting drinking a glass of tea, I was sitting there kicking back in my recliner, and two of my teenagers in my youth group came to my house, and my wife said, they need to talk to you, and they come in there and they told me the head deacon in my church was over the building program, was having an affair with a woman in my church, right under my nose. You know what happened? That preaching flushed them out. That's why if you don't preach against it, your church will fill up with it. Amen. Preacher, why do you have to be so mean? Why do you have to preach on that all the time? It's because, bless God, it's the truth. It's needful. Bro, if you didn't, there ain't no telling what kind of a hellhole we'd have if we didn't. We've become numb to it, brother. We've heard it, and we've heard it. We've tuned God out, but we ought to tune Him back in. Amen. We need old-fashioned preaching. I ain't bragging on me. I ain't much of a preacher, but brother, I try to tell it. And I try to be straight and tell it straight. Fellow in my church was out fishing with his daddy one time, and his daddy said, my preacher thinks your preacher's all show. And he said, that's all right, my preacher thinks your preacher's a faggot. Now, I didn't say that. I didn't say that, really. I thought it, but I didn't say it. He was dressed in suits with that Barney the Dinosaur, you know, purple suits and pink shoes and all that weird stuff. I mean, really, people will pick on you just because you tell the truth and stand up. But I want to tell you something. There used to be a generation of preachers. Brother Shook, they all used to preach like this. This used to not be out of the ordinary. This used to be common. The way I preach and you preach and he preaches, everybody used to preach like this.
Yes,
when I was growing up, every preacher I ever met, every preacher I ever heard preached like this. I remember the first time I ever heard a man preach that didn't sweat and slobber and hack. I was sitting back here by on the back row, I was about 12 years old. I thought he must be gay or something. Really, honest, I remember it. I thought something's wrong with that guy. He's not a preacher.
Yeah.
Up there in the mountains of North Carolina, if you didn't hack, you wasn't no preacher. This little boy come in one day, he said, Grandma, God called me to preach. He said, get up on that chair, let's hear it. He said, the little red hen ran around the bar. She said, get out of here, you didn't call to preach. About a week later, he come back in. He said, Grandma, really? God's called me to preach. She said, well, get up in that chair and let's hear it. He said, the little red hen ran around the bar. She said, wow! God's done called my baby to preach. What does God say? Preaching exposes sin. Not only that, it's God's method to reach the lost. That's what God uses to get your lost people saved. Your lost ain't gonna get saved under nothing else. You bring lost people to church, singing's wonderful, like the preacher said, singing's great, I love it. There ain't nobody in this church loves it more than I do. Nobody. I dearly love it. But it ain't gonna save people. It's gonna take old fashioned preaching to get people saved. Abraham Lincoln said, I like to hear a man preach like he's fighting a swarm of bees. That's the way it ought to be, brother. A man ought to preach like it's his last sermon. He ought to preach like I'm checking out tonight, and I'm going to give it everything I got before I go. Amen, brother. A real preacher wants to preach. Amen, brother. A man ought to want to preach how much he wants to eat when he's hungry. And brother, when a man preaches like that, it exposes sin. It's also God's method of reaching the lost.
Amen. I believe it, brother.
I read a story about Daniel Webster. The woman, his niece asked him, said, Uncle Daniel, why do you go to that little church down there? There's big fashionable churches uptown. More, he was a statesman, you know, big shot. He said, well, the church uptown, they preached to Daniel Webster, the statesman, but the little church, they preached to Daniel Webster, the sinner. That's where I want to go.
Wow.
A real preacher, if a politician walks in, I'll just get up and let her rip. Just preach them all into hell. We become numb to that. Real preaching sounds like a trumpet, not a flute. Amen? Exposes sin. It changes. It's a method of reaching the lost. Not only that, but it changes lives. It changes people's lives. That's what changed my life one day. It's real, old-fashioned, Holy Ghost, King James Bible preaching that got me in. And it changed me, brother. I mean, it turned me in from a dope-smoking, pothead, a drunkard, to a saved, Bible-believing, redneck preacher, glory to God. I ain't been the same since. It changed my life. Rehab couldn't do what preaching did for me. Amen. We become numb to preaching.
Old-fashioned preaching.
Old-fashioned preaching. It changed Saul the bounty hunter to Paul the preacher. It changed Matthew the tax collector to Matthew the preacher. It changed Peter from a fisherman to a soul winner. It changed Charles Finney from an attorney to a revival preacher. And the list goes on and on and on. I'm going to move on. Becoming numb to the things of God. I want to say this. The best thing about preaching is this, Brother Griffith. All those things are true. The best thing about preaching is it pleases God.
Yeah. Listen to that.
Listen. The devil don't like preaching.
Listen, church. You're right.
The only thing that I'm a preacher. The only thing I really feel comfortable doing is preaching. You feel that way? That's the only thing time I feel like I'm in my real element. I got pulled over the other day and this punk by 18 was going to write me 5 tickets. I thought, I challenge you to come to my church and sit on the front row Sunday morning. I'll eat your lunch, big boy. I guarantee you'll be more nervous than what I am right now. You don't scare me of that piece of paper. I can show up in court and pay a ticket. Amen? You sit on the front row of my church and see if you can set that up squirming. Amen? What it was, he's in his element with that gun and that bat. He didn't know I had a gun too, though. But I'm just saying, brother, but listen, here's what I'm trying to say. There's people that don't like it. The devil don't like it. The world don't like it. People don't like it. Most of your church don't like it. But this blessed old book said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Thank God he loves it. Every time I stand up to preach, many times I go home feeling like a dud. I feel like I've laid an egg. I feel like I've made a mess of it. I get in my car and go home, and God looks down. I believe he pats me on the back and says, "Son, you gave it everything you got. Don't you worry. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I got a blessing out of it. It pleases God." Preaching pleases God. I like preaching. I like good. I like what an old preacher said one time. He said, "The only thing I like better than hearing good preaching, that's doing some good preaching." Amen. I don't ever feel like I do any good preaching, but boy, I like it. I enjoy it when the Lord's in it. Number two, I want to say, we become numb to preaching, but we're starting to become numb to the power. We're becoming numb to the services and the singing and the soul winning.
Right.
You notice the services are different than what they used to be? Now, you young people, I know you young people probably get tired of hearing this. Some of you young people have probably seen a little bit of it just because of what you've grown up in.
Right.
But some of the rest of you may not have. My kids have seen bits and pieces of it because of the family they grew up in.
Right.
But when I was a kid, when I first started preaching, Brother Shook, I guarantee he can tell us a lot more than I could tell you. I started preaching in 1979, and the church my daddy pastored, it was common to walk in the door and sit down in heaven fall. I mean, the choir wouldn't even make it through one song, and the glory fall. It was like camp meeting every time you came to church. It was unusual if it didn't happen. We just took it for granted. I mean, people running and shouting and running the aisles and the glory fall, and somebody got saved almost every time you came to church. It just happened all the time. Every time you went to church, you go in the prayer room and it happened. I remember one time we went to church, was in the prayer room, and we came out of the prayer room, went out in the parking lot, and was going to stand around and fellowship a few minutes before church, and it broke loose in the parking lot. People are shouting, and the people pulled up in the yard, and people were shouting and praising God, running around the parking lot. One time we was at the hospital, and we got to pray for this man in intensive care. It broke loose in intensive care, and the nurse came back in and said, "Y'all can't be doing this." And we just kept shouting and praising God, and she went back to her nurse's station and left us alone, and the glory fell in that place. It don't even happen in church anymore. It's different now, boys. We've entered, I believe it happened right around the turn of the century. Things changed drastically. That's just my opinion. I think things have changed a lot over the last 20 years, but right around the year 2000, it really changed. And I think there's been a withdrawing of the Spirit of God. And I believe the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out at the rapture. And I believe the world's wallowing and reeling in sin. And seeing a move of God. Here's what's happening. When God does move, it's like somebody when an alarm clock goes off. And after they hear it, and they hear it, and they hear it, and they hear it, it don't even wake them up anymore. Same way with preaching and the power of God. When it does happen, it don't affect you. My son was telling me just the other night, we was laughing about it. He stayed with some people one time in North Carolina a couple years ago for a little while, and he was laughing about when they had their alarm clocks turned up so loud. And at 5:30 in the morning, alarm clock would go off, and they wouldn't get up. And their mom and daddy lived next door. This is married people now. This, you talk about redneck, brother. Their mom and daddy lived next door. I have to call them and call them, and on the answering machine, wake up, get up, get up. You're going to be late for work. And that wouldn't get them up. And the daddy had to hobble up there and had two artificial hips. He had to hobble up there with his cane and beat on the side of the house to get them up. I said, that'll preach right there, brother. I'd drag their sorry tail out of bed and beat them with that cane, wouldn't you? You think I'd wake them up? I said, be late before you get fired for all I care. Amen. There's what I'm trying to tell you. That's the way Christian people are. When God does try to move it. Listen, I believe this, brother. I'm not no prophet, but I do believe this church is on the verge of something. And I believe God could start to move here, and the power of God could start moving. And if you're not careful, you'll be numb to it because you've heard that alarm clock and you've tuned it out.
Yeah.
We had a lady in our church one time. She was a Yankee. She sounded like Roseanne. She had that awful, and that ran out, you know, obnoxious. And she hollered at her kids all the time. Them kids never heard her. And they'd be running around and she'd holler at them. They never heard her. Never heard her. They'd be running toward a cliff and she'd holler. Never. It's like they was on a different frequency tune somewhere else. And one time her husband was, they was having some trouble, and I took the little boy home with me. Kept him one day, didn't lay a hand on him. Got down his face and gave him a couple of rules. Threatened him a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Me and Candace, Debbie was at work, me and Candace was home all day, and within one day got that boy, he could say his name, he'd stop what he's doing and look at you and say, yes, sir.
Yeah.
I just had to refocus him. Get him off that frequency. You know what happened to him? He heard her scream at him so much and holler at him so much, he just tuned her out. That's what Christians are doing to God. Tune him out.
Right.
Same way men do their wives to tune her out. Honey? Did you take out the trash?
Yeah.
Easy, brother. They're meddling now.
Yeah.
But we're becoming numb to the power of God. I believe the power of God would move. I believe we'd see things happen. Listen, brother, as I said a few minutes ago, I remember back in the day when the power of God would move into a service and people would jump up like popcorn and testify. Now you might have to beg them and beg them and beg them. Anybody got a word of testimony? How about you? How about somebody else? I have to call them out by name. Have to prod them, get a cattle prod and shock them just to get them to stand up and just tell God saved them. Amen. Becoming numb. I'll say this lastly. The preaching and the power, and we're becoming numb to the presence of God. God could be right in our presence, I believe, sometimes. And we wouldn't even know it. In Genesis chapter 28, the Bible said that Jacob went to sleep. You know the story. He had that dream and his angels were ascending and descending. And that story is not about angels. The story is about God promising Jacob, I'm going to give you this promised seed that I preached about last night a little bit. That's what God's covenant with Abraham. That's what that was about. It wasn't about angels climbing ladders. Amen? Some people get they get the wrong interpretation of things, so twisted, and then write a song about it and get things so messed up. Makes you wonder if I ever read the Bible. But he was asleep and had that vision, that dream. And he woke up, and here's what he said. Strange verse of Scripture. He woke up and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. Wouldn't it be bad 5 years from now to be sitting somewhere in a dead church, dry as cracker juice, and say, surely the Lord was at Lighthouse Baptist Church, and I didn't even know it. And I pulled my family out. I got mad over something stupid. Now look where I'm at. Look at the mess I'm in now. Wouldn't that be a mess? To say, sure, the Lord was in that meeting down there. I felt God nudge my heart. I wouldn't move. I wouldn't go to that altar. Now look where I'm at. Didn't even know it. Another verse of Scripture, Judges 16, Samson woke up and the Bible said he wished not the Lord had departed from him. Here's a man that Jacob said he was here and I didn't know it. Samson said, I thought he was here and he wasn't.
Yep.
How about that?
Yep.
Two different situations. Eutychus in Acts chapter 20, sitting up in the window. Paul's up preaching. He's something up in the window. You know the story, he falls out. Paul goes in and prays over him, preaches all night. You think we're long-winded? You know what the tragedy is of that story? I've heard, I've preached on it, and you have too, you preachers. You know what hit me about that this morning? He was more out than he was in, and he was asleep. But here's the worst part about that whole thing. Here was a man that was asleep while the greatest preacher in the world was preaching. Missed it. He might, I don't know who Eutychus was, but that might have been the only time he ever got a chance to hear Paul. Slept through it, brother. Wouldn't that be a trip? Wouldn't that be something? How about when you say, oh, what's the big deal? How about when you get to heaven and you meet Eutychus and you talk to him? Yeah, I knew Paul. I'd seen him a time or two, but that big meeting they had, I missed it. Slept through it. Missed it. Don't sleep through it, man. He was numb. He's zoned out. I'm going to read a verse.